Well, the joy and the pain has come to an end. Kevin Durant walks away at the MVP. The Golden State Warriors get it done again, back-to-back NBA titles. LeBron James remains the greatest player on the planet, and he did not embarrass himself or come up short in any way, shape, or form. A lack of talent in Cleveland was the bigger part of the problem, but they were game, gave you what they had. And now it's time for these NBA teams, some of these NBA teams, get back to the drawing board, see what's going to happen, and who's going to be eligible to be moved to where and when. But before Kevin answers those questions, I'm going to ask him to tell you how you can tune in to us. It's Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, every Tuesday night recording, every Wednesday night it drops, and it gives you an opportunity ongoingly, 365, to hear us anytime, anywhere, because we are, as they say, in the clouds.
So we come to you again every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on urbanmediatoday.com. You can also connect with us on Twitter, and we're at Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. Again, that is Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports.
So, Kev, you made reference to some free agents and some other moves that might be going on in the NBA. So before we shift to another major sport, what are you thinking?
So, again, we already talked about LeBron James, and we should also talk about these other free agents out there as well. Now, the first person or player I would like to bring up, he's expected to re-sign with Golden State, is Kevin Durant. And I believe he's on record. Again, Bill, I'm not the only one that goes on record. So Kevin Durant actually indicated that he would like to re-sign, and I think it's just a matter of working things out. He actually made $25 million last year. LeBron James actually made a little bit more than $33 million.
How will they get by?
Last year.
No, I mean,
so they'll be
right. How are they going to make – how are they going to – it's life is tough,
yeah,
man.
But check this out. Now, I mean, after you talk about those two, you have Paul George, who is a free agent as well, and he made a little bit more than $19 million. So I know Paul George, the game plan or the rumor game plan for a number of years was that he would go to the Lakers, your team, Bill. I mean, do you think he'll – actually sign with the Lakers?
Well, I think that if LeBron does go there, there's a very good chance of that.
Or there's a chance that some of these free agents would go to Cleveland and play with LeBron. You also have Chris Paul, who's an unrestricted free agent. So right there, if you take Chris Paul, you take Paul George, and put them with LeBron in Cleveland –
I think Cleveland's seen its better days. I really do.
So you don't even think there's a possibility?
I don't think anybody wants to go to Cleveland. And if you're in Houston, if you're in Golden State, if you're if you're on the West Coast, do you want to go to Cleveland? I think Cleveland's seen its better days.
Okay, and let me read a few more of these. You have DeMarcus Cousins for the Pelicans, unrestricted free agent. Clint Capella is a restricted free agent for Houston. DeAndre Jordan has a player option with the Clippers. And you have Aaron Gordon that plays for Magic, Orlando Magic. Julius Randle for the Lakers. Will he stick around, Bill? That's your team.
You know what? Again, I think a lot of that is predicated upon, you know, as a matter of fact, a lot of things are predicated on what LeBron does.
Okay.
A lot of people's movement or lack thereof, I think a lot of people will be waiting to see what LeBron does before they make decisions. I mean, if you're on the Lakers team or if you're on Houston, like I said, I just don't believe that there's enough basketballs to go around for LeBron to go to Houston as it is. But certainly, if you're hanging, you might want to see where LeBron goes if you want to go play with the best player in the world.
Okay. And now you have.
But I am ready for a resurrection in L.A. Yeah. You know, I've been laying dormant.
They're pretty dismal right now.
I've been laying dormant for about 9 years. I guess it's been 8 or 9 years.
And you'll wait another 8 or 9 years.
I think the Magic Man is taking the bull by the horn. They got rid of some dead weight in the front office. And Jerry Buss's son, and I think they're ready to really. I think it's a personal thing with Magic now. I think he wants his Lakers back. Oh, but
he got the Dodgers in the World Series last year, though, right?
Everything he touches turns to gold. Let's be honest.
And talking about the Lakers, Isaiah Thomas, he's also an unrestricted free agent. Is he automatically gone as well?
Well, we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see.
And then Jabari Parker. Milwaukee Bucks, he's a restricted free agent. So with the restricted, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what they'll do there. I know that Jabari Parker actually just returned from an ACL.
He's been hurt twice already.
Right, so I guess he's injury prone. Mm-hmm. So going into free agency with that type of situation isn't good. So I just named probably about 10 or 11 free agents, and there's many, many more. And again, I'm sure at least one or two more of those free agents will play with LeBron somewhere. It's just a matter of time. Joe, I know you said Houston.
I'm still sticking Houston. I don't think, even though, Bill, you disagree with not enough balls to go around, I just think LeBron sees – That team has pedigree. It has the pedigree that he's been looking for. Now, to get him, though, who has to go?
I was just about to ask you, who do you think then would be on their way out? That was about to be my next question.
I'm scratching my head to say, oh, somebody's got to leave because the cap, their cap will be screaming. Their salary cap will be above its maximum.
They could rework some contracts to make it possible. And then, I mean, we haven't talked about San Antonio as well. That's kind of floating out there because he's a big Greg Popovich fan as well.
Well, he might be a Pop fan, but that ball club is too old unless they restructure it.
Okay.
True enough.
And I just see where he's supposed to be trying to meet with Kawhi Leonard as well to fix that situation.
Is Parker still playing?
Parker is still playing, yes. He's a free agent as well.
He's like 38?
I'm not sure of his age.
37, 38?
Right. But he's
in his upper 30s, yes.
He's also a free agent. And, you know, just to transition here, still within the NBA, just some coaching news came out on Tuesday, and I'm not exactly sure if it's been finalized, but ESPN's Adam Wojnarowski reported that the Raptors, Toronto, are hiring current Raptors assistant Nick Nurse as their new head coach. Nurse is finalizing contract terms with Toronto, but met with President Masai Ujiri and General Manager Bobby Webster on Tuesday.
And you offered that because you think who cares?
I'm just trying to keep people abreast, Bill.
When you look at your little gadget over there and you offer that, who do you think cares?
I'm trying to keep people knowledgeable. What
you want to do is skip
going on in the NBA. There's been
some stuff you want to skip. Don't nobody care about Toronto and them names you couldn't pronounce.
Come on,
look.
This will be the eighth new head coach going into the 2019 season. That's a lot of head coaches.
Hey Joe, whenever I look over and Trev is smiling, I know I said something that matters. And Trev want to know too. Who the hell cares about them clowns in Toronto? But let me. What's the dude's name that's announcing on NBA announcer that orchestrated the Golden State team before he got dismissed unjustly? Come on, St. John's. Come on. New York legend. This the announcer on the NBA games.
You brought it up.
I'm asking you to help me with his name.
Come with the names.
I
have no idea who you're talking about.
Trev, you know who I'm talking about.
I do. He played guard. He actually played for the Knicks.
He's a Knicks guard. You know who I'm talking about.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
The guy that coached Golden State before Kerr got the job. Good Lord. Anyway, when his name comes to me, when is he going to get a job, and why isn't he getting the Knicks job?
Is it Jackson?
Mark Jackson. When is he going to get a job? You just mentioned some clown. I'm sorry, some guy up in Toronto getting a job we ain't never heard of. When is Mark Jackson going to get a job? They ran him out.
Well, and you raise a good point. You never heard of him because he coached over in Europe as well and won two European championships.
Get out of here with that.
Well, I'm just giving you the information, and I want to make sure everyone is aware of what's going on in the NBA now. Dwayne Casey, formerly of Toronto, is now the head coach of Detroit. So he didn't go long being out of work. But as far as Mark Jackson, you raise a good point because he did set that team up nicely. And when you have eight new head coaches, you would think that he could possibly land at least one of those jobs.
Well, he hasn't said out loud that he's looking or wanting, but his name has been mentioned. And the last time his name was mentioned that we thought it was shortly he was going to get the Knicks job. Be that as it may, let's get out of this NBA dialogue. And as we depart it, allow me to offer mine. You can give me yours. The five greatest teams in the history of the NBA. For me, Lakers, Showtime with Magic Johnson, the greatest team ever. Michael Jordan's Bulls, Larry Bird's Celtics, the Bad Boys, the Pistons, never get enough respect for what they did back-to-back, but they shut everybody down. And I'll give you Golden State number five. I'm listening to you. Talk to me, either one of you.
I like your five, and I can't argue too much against the lineup and the order of them.
Although I do question myself, where do you put Kobe and Shaq's Laker team? I don't know. But
well, I don't think they're as good as the Magic and the Worthy and Perkins team. Definitely not. And when you have the Bulls, you know, especially the Jordan era when he had, you know, all his boys, Pippen and all those guys, that was a team to beat, you know, many championship rings there. And you said the Celtics with Bird and DJ and the likes there. I mean,
that's a great team.
I'm not a Celtics guy. I mean, I'm just not a Massachusetts type sports fan.
But you got to be objective now. Come on.
But
that was a great team.
But that team is a good team.
That was a great team.
It was a good team.
Bill is just sitting over there being a homer. Anyone that has reasonable NBA basketball knowledge will know the Boston Celtics teams were the best of all time. That's indisputable.
What Boston Celtics teams? You talking about Bill Russell now?
Bill Russell?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's a different era. That's a different era.
You're saying in history. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well,
in
modern history, but maybe modern history. You know Bill Russell and those guys couldn't keep up with Magic and them. I mean, it's not even comparable.
You know what, Bill? You change your mind every week you come on the show.
Listen, I'm just telling
you. We had a discussion previously about older players being able to do what the current players are doing because they would adjust.
It's all relative. It's always relative by era. And I'm telling you, I'm not gonna debate eras with you. I'm just taking the Lakers as my number one team of all time. Now, what's your top five?
I just told you. You start off with Boston.
All right, then who else?
Okay, and then you have the Lakers, and then you have Chicago, and after that, I'll throw Golden State in there, probably number four. And number five, you pick it.
No, I got my five. You pick number five.
You know, they're all tied. All the rest of them. So I only have a top four. How's that?
Well, look, I don't even like talking to you, let alone hearing your list. So move along. What's next? You want to talk about tennis? Because I can take a nap while you and Joe talk about tennis because I don't know nothing about tennis.
Well, there's a lot of
except Sabrina is fine. That's all I can tell you about tennis.
Sabrina.
Serena.
Serena.
Serena. Serena.
Yeah.
And what's her sister? Come on, man. Is her sister still playing?
Venus, yes. Venus she's still playing. Absolutely. She was in the French Open with her playing doubles this year, and she plays singles as well.
Man. So you see what part of my job is here.
You're part of your job.
I have to educate my co-host, Bill.
You gotta educate me.
You know, I have to educate him. So let's talk some tennis. Let's talk the French Open.
Absolutely.
The results from the French Open.
Just happened.
And we need to talk about the state of the professional black tennis players. Okay, both on the men's side as well as the women's side.
And I would say when you say black, you assume American players, correct?
American players, yes.
All right.
Exactly, right. So.
And because there are many people of color on the men's side, but they don't reside in the United States, who are playing well.
It's an international sport.
It is an international sport. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, tennis is right now in the U.S. is dominated by women, African-American women. And starting off with Serena, best player in the world, and followed by her sister, of course, who's not too far. She's still in the top 10.
Venus,
right, absolutely, as being the top 10 in the world. So, and even though Serena is not ranked in the top 10 of the world, only because she spent the last almost year off of maternity leave, but now she's coming back. She's playing well. Unfortunately, she was injured in this past tournament.
And let's talk about that just a little, because I believe that that is unfair. I think it's unfair with the ranking, with her losing her ranking, because she did what women do. She had a baby.
Absolutely. She did what she thought was right. But here's what they're going to say. If we treat Serena, in this case, differently than we've treated the rest of the women, now we will set precedent. So they did not, the WTA did not want to step on that, you won't say, thing.
What if she broke her ankle and didn't have a baby? Would her rankings drop the same?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the
difference? It's because difference. You don't play. It's because you don't play.
Yeah, because
so when you don't play, you don't earn points, and it's your ranking is all based and built on the points that you earn from various tournaments.
Well, I disagree with that. I think you should hold your ranking, because I do not believe you should penalize a woman for having a baby.
Injury is different than having a baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing, Kevin. I mean, you have to be able to draw the line somewhere. So the WTA drew the line with, we're going to stick with what we've done in prior lives, in prior times. So regardless if you were hurt, if you had a baby, whatever. I mean, there are a bunch of women who played at the top of their game after they had a baby, and the WTA didn't give them a pass to say you will lose or you will keep your current number one or number two ranking in the world.
And just because you've done it in the past doesn't make it right.
I'm not going to say it.
Every sport makes changes
right
every year.
I'm not going to say it's right again. It's okay. Just they use that just so that they didn't have to set precedent.
And isn't in the workplace, because I always go back to the workplace, because it's this evolving. Is a workplace
it's
issue.
It's evolving, yes.
In the workplace, when you go out on maternity leave,
yes,
and when you come back to work,
your job,
it's against the law.
To change your job, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm coming
from. Well, it's not like
they
didn't
the
let her back into the sport.
The same thing should apply here as well.
Right, they did. It's not like they didn't let her back in the sport, so she still had her job.
But
she just had to go earn her position back.
Right, and in the real world, in the business world,
that
doesn't apply.
It's the same thing. It's apples and oranges. And why do you expect everybody else to have to stay stagnant because she's out having a baby?
It's not everyone else's.
She didn't have to have a baby. She didn't have to have a baby. She could have waited till her tennis career was over to have a child.
So what if she does a Tom Brady and plays into her 40s, but she's 30?
That's her choice.
38?
That's her choice.
Somewhere
that's
in
her choice. So she, you know, just because she decided to have a child, the rest of the world doesn't stop spinning
But you could use that same thought process in the business world as well. Why you're missing out on getting promoted because it was your decision to go out and start a family, which I think is totally wrong.
Right. Well, in the business world, it's protected by, you know, a bunch of laws,
right.
which are needed and they are warranted and they came about because they were it was necessary in the workplace. Because I remember my mother telling me back when she had me. She actually had to resign from her job.
And I think this is an opportunity to encourage women in sport to have children at the necessary time. Because, you know, tennis is a young sport anyway. Okay, so I would not want women to feel as though they have to wait because they will lose opportunity in their sport if they were to have a child.
Kevin, I hear your point. I wish I was, I guess Katrina Adams, that's another African-American female and she is the chairman of the board and the CEO, chairman of the board and the president of the of the United States Tennis Association. So she could, I guess, be an advocate for something is what you're talking about.
You know what I think part of the solution would be,
what
Joe?
Would it be?
They need to take a knee. How's that?
Now you're getting on something.
They need to start taking knees in the WTA.
I don't know. There's other ways to do it than to take a knee, though.
You've heard Kevin explain to you the difficulty he has and working in the same room with me. Now you understand my plight. Because in that chair that you sit in, Joe, weeks ago, a golf semi-pro, a golf aficionado, a golf teacher, leader, outstanding player, who has been in the company of the great Tiger Woods and others, sat in that chair and tried to explain to Kevin the realities of the game. Now, a guy that Kevin invited on to do that, he insisted upon arguing with the golf pro that he don't know what he's talking about. Now he's going to tell you, he invited you here to talk tennis. Now you're trying to tell him something, and he don't want to listen to you.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with Joe.
Let it go.
I'm just providing, if you have a baby,
you lose your ranking.
If
you have knee surgery, you lose your ranking.
Well, that's different, and Joe said it's different than an injury.
But you still lose your ranking.
I can sit here and say I don't think it's right. That's the only thing I'm saying.
But disagree with your professional. Until we can get some people at the top side of these organizations to agree, Kevin, with you and your position.
I'm getting upset here.
Then we will be able to make some changes.
Trey, have you got some public enemy over there? I'm starting to get upset,
Let's just talk tennis.
Go ahead and resume.
So let's go back to talking about tennis in the United States and where we are from a professional standpoint. Our African-American women are basically carrying tennis. For this generation, they have probably for the last 10, 12, 15 years since the Williams sisters have really been on the set. So you have Serena and Venus, of course, Williams, the Williams sisters. Then you have Sloane Stephens, who competed for the championship just this past Saturday, and she played well, but she was defeated three sets and was defeated. Then you have Madison Keys, who's another young, up-and-coming and aspiring sister who's doing some great things.
Hold on that comment. I got to hold you up again.
What's up?
We talked about this.
Can the man talk tennis?
Well, let me talk Madison Keys. I got two more here to go.
I want people to know, because we had this discussion last week. Madison Keys, is she really a sister?
Madison Keys says she's a sister.
No, she didn't. No, she said... She had the Tiger Woods syndrome.
Oh, well, say it like this.
She said, I'm not black.
They list her as an African American. I'm just Madison Keys. Okay, well,
that may be what she offers, but what's the bloodline say?
The bloodline says she is a sister.
Her mom is white and her dad is black.
She's black.
Right. But she says she's not
Doesn't
black.
Doesn't matter
but
what she says. Okay. She's black.
Okay.
And her father's black. She's black.
Right. In the United States, they will say she is.
I just want everyone to have all the information.
Well, they would get it if you stopped interrupting the man.
Go ahead, Joe.
The information.
And then the fifth person here in command is Dr. J's daughter. I don't know if you know, it's her daughter, Alexandria Stevenson. She's kind of like five. And then last but not least is Taylor Townsend. And so those six sisters are really holding it down from the African-American perspective for tennis. But on the men's side, it's really light.
But what question for you, Joe? How tall was Dr. J's daughter?
That's a good question. I think she's like 6'1" or 6'2".
Can you imagine the legs she's working with?
You would go there, huh?
Well, no, I'm saying. No, I'm not,
all people.
No, I'm saying, look at the advantage if you got your dad's legs and muscles. That's got to be a great advantage.
But you know what? Sloane Stephens, her mom and dad were, well, her dad was a professional football player. Mm-hmm. He played for the Patriots. Her mother was a swimmer, I think at USC or somewhere out west.
Joe, his mind is in the gutter. I'm talking about the attributes that you gain from coming from superior parents.
Right. A lot of these young ladies, and some of the men, but mostly the young lady side, their parents were strong, popular athletes.
Absolutely.
And people say Richard Williams, you know, with the Williams sisters. Richard Williams, you know, was all this and all that, and he was crazy and all that. But that guy produced some of the best talent from his offspring that anybody will say.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, you don't like to agree, but you're shaking your head right now, because I think
if it's right, I'll agree.
I think it's right.
Yeah.
It's right. But let's go back to the men's side. The men's side of tennis is really only three young men out there right now competing. And Donald Young is our and he's no longer young. Donald's
28.
He's 28, and he's trying to do his thing. But Schofield Jenkins is kind of another name that you don't hear a lot, but he's out there trying to do his thing as well. But again, none of these guys are competing, you know, for the top, you know, 100, top 50 slots. They're struggling. They're struggling. And one other young fellow who's kind of on the scene, and I thought 3 years ago he was going to take Federer down. He actually won the first set on Federer, and I was jumping and hollering and screaming at the TV. And his name is Francis Tiafoe, I think is how he pronounces it. But he took that first set, and I thought he was going to do some things. And of course, you know, championship pedigree, did what championship pedigree does. Federer just took him out the next three sets straight, and it was pretty much over. But the plight of African American tennis is changed in the United States. I shouldn't say changed. It has been what it is for quite some time, but it needs to change, and it has to change really from the grassroots level.
Yeah,
we have to take our young kids, and we got to get them in programs, particularly our young African American kids who not just want to excel in basketball and football and baseball, because tennis is a sport that they can get involved in. And here in Pittsburgh, we actually have some free opportunities for them. The Highland Park Tennis Association offers free tennis lessons for a number of the kids as well as for adults. But then the Inner City Junior Tennis Program, I'm a part of that program, and we offer free lessons for kids year-round from ages 5 to 18. So you have to get kids involved at a very early age, because this is a game, like you said, Kevin, early. It's a young person's game. It's just like basketball. You can play tennis until your 70s and 80s, you know, as long as you're living. But you're not going to play competitively, you know, at a league where you can make some money. That is, from age 18 to – you'd be lucky if you make it to 30 if you're in it making money at that level. But you can play the game for life. That's why I like and enjoy the sport. But if you're going to be a competitive tennis player, that goes out and that's how you earn your living, it is a young man and young woman's game.
And how can people get in touch with you, Joe, to get involved?
The Inner City Junior Tennis Program, we have you can go to Facebook and just type that in, Inner City Junior Tennis Program, and Richard Parks is our executive director of the program, and he will kind of direct people into how they need to join. But basically, it's a free program through the summers. We start actually on this coming Saturday, so it's programs on Saturday afternoon for beginners, 4 to 5:30. And then for more intermediate to advanced kids, from 5:30 to 7, that's at the tennis courts on Stanton Avenue in Highland Park.
Okay, great. So we're going to finish up with tennis when we come back, and we're also going to talk some baseball and the NFL as well.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99, and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.